Hello and welcome to the podcast on the blog on alanarnett.com. It is Sunday, April 21st, 2024, and this is the weekend update for the Everest 2024 spring season. Well, this week we have much better news than we did last week. First off, good for the local economy and for everybody that depends upon Everest Inc. for income. The number of permits has gone up this week compared to last week when it was down 34% compared to the previous year, 2023. So it looks like that things are picking up. And also that the route is now through the Khumbu Icefall all the way to Camp 2, which is great news because that now opens up the Khumbu Icefall to allow everyone to go through for acclimatization and also, more importantly, for the Sherpas to go and establish Camps 1 and 2 in the Western Khum. The Tibetan border is still not open to allow people to go over on that side, but it should be open anytime now, according to people like Adrian Bollinger and Lucas Frutenbach. So I have no doubt that they'll be climbing on the Tibetan side this year. Just going to be a little later than normal. You know, one thing that's not a big issue is that unlike on the Nepal side, where the icefall doctors stopped maintaining the icefall at the end of May, primarily because of the monsoons coming in and it just things begin to warm up and they begin to melt out. So it makes the icefall even more dangerous. That on the Tibetan side, that there's a couple little small sections that are similar to the icefall, but nothing in magnitude like there is in the Nepal side. So on the Tibetan side, people can climb well into early June. You know, again, as long as the weather holds. So we've seen Everest summits on the from the Tibetan side, you know, into like March or I'm sorry, June 5th, 10th. So, but more normally they also stop around the end of May. But in any event, it looks like both sides are going to be fine this year, and there's going to be lots of people on both sides, and so it'll be somewhat like a normal season. Let's hope, but we still have another, 5 weeks to go in the season. And as we all know with Everest, anything can happen. A little bit of a surprise is that if looking at the number of permits that have been issued, according to the reports from the Ministry of Tourism, that climbers from India have really dropped. Last year, there were, last year, there were 40 Indian nationals that climbed Everest on the Nepal side. And this year, thus far, it's only 19, so about half. Not quite sure what's going on there, but, climbers from India and China have been the mainstay, especially for the Nepali companies for the last, let's say, 5-7 years. In terms of what countries have the most climbers climbing on Everest on the Nepal side, it's the United States with this year thus far, there's 65 permits that have been issued, followed closely by China with 63. And then it drops off after that, but still substantial numbers from the UK with 28, India, as I said, 19, and Japan with 19. So, anyway, things are, a very international community on the Nepal side, like it always is. So again, looking at last week, the route got through the Khumbu Icefall. The Icefall doctors just did a great job of being able to navigate that jumbled ice cube tray that makes up the icefall. They were able to find their way through the difficult upper sections. However, they have issued a notice or a warning or a cautionary note that there's 5 areas that they want climbers to be especially cautious of. Then what I'm assuming they're talking about that in the icefall, you could have these towering columns of ice that that had basically been pushed over and became a little cattywampered in the icefall, and that they can fall over at any time without notice whatsoever because the icefall is constantly moving. And when that happens, then if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, then that's bad news. So obviously speed is going to be your friend. Now, the counter to that is that supposedly the reports say that the icefall is going to take 2 hours longer than usual to get through. And that's a problem. That's going to be a problem for the Sherpas faring low through it, as well as for the members of the clients or the customers that are trying to get through it to get up to the Western Khum and then on to the summit when that time comes in mid-May. So the other thing that's going on in terms of the route, so it's all the way to Camp 2 now. In fact, IMG, they've already had Sherpas go up and begin to establish their Camp 2 in the Western Khum, right at the base of the Lhotse face. But Camp 2 serves as an advanced base camp, and that's where Sherpas from 7 summits treks will be fixing the route up the Lhotse face across the Geneva Spur to the South Col, up to the balcony, South Summit, and on to the summit. And that's a lot of work. And that takes a lot of time to get that done. So right now, none of the ropes or the anchors, the pitons, the the pickets, everything that goes involved with fixing that route is not at Camp 2. Historically, that's been carried on the backs of Sherpas and many, many trips through the icefall. And there's lobbying going on right now to try to get the government to approve using helicopters to ferry all that gear to Camp 2, and therefore eliminating having the Sherpas carry that through the icefall, which arguably is more dangerous this year than it has been in the past. So I really hope that the government agrees to this. That's a really wise move. And it's not ferrying climbers through. It's just ferrying Sherpas with the gear through. And in my opinion, I think that's a good thing. From the good news department, there's no typhoons in the Bay of Bengal. And that's typically what happens in, early May, something like that, is a typhoon will build up and then it can come on shore and obviously hit the impact the Everest region. Several years ago, there were actually two typhoons that came in almost back to back and really created havoc in the mountain. But all it really does is bring high winds, a lot of moisture in the form of snow. So it can mess up plans, but typically people just hunker down and let those things pass on through. And so there's a delay of a few days and nothing really serious. But nonetheless, this year so far, all is quiet in the Bay of Bengal off of India. I looked up the weather, Meteo Exploration. I've got this on the website on the blog from this podcast. They have something I call a hindsight, and what it does, it goes back for the last week or so and looks at the conditions for any location that they follow around the globe. And for Everest this past week, it was really interesting. The winds were hovering around 30 miles an hour, 48 kilometers per hour. And that's typically the threshold from which teams will not climb if it's higher than that on a sustained basis. So last week was a good summit week. Of course, nobody was summiting, but it was a good week. And maybe that portends a good weather window as we go into May. However, it was cold. It was 30 degrees below zero centigrade. That's minus 22 Fahrenheit. You combine that with a 30 mile an hour wind, you've got wind chills around 50 degrees Fahrenheit or centigrade below zero, minus 50 wind chill. That's cold, ladies and gentlemen. That is cold. So everybody, make sure you're wearing your thickest long underwear when you go to the summit, when that time comes. All right, looking forward, now that the route's through the icefall, we've got now the teams will begin their acclimatization rotations going. First off, they'll go up probably halfway through the icefall, maybe to the football field, just tag it, kind of get a feeling for crossing ladders. We still haven't got a firm number of how many ladders are in the icefall this year compared to last year. But given the state of the icefall this year, it won't surprise me at all if we've got 20 ladders compared to the last couple of years. It's been in single digits all the way down to 5 or 7. But we'll see what happens. But nonetheless, people will go up to the icefall halfway through to the football field maybe and just kind of tap it and then come on back down to base camp and then rest up. And then they'll go back up for the real deal the next time. And that'll all happen this upcoming week. They'll go up and spend a night or two at Camp 1, and then they'll head on up to Camp 2 where they'll spend multiple nights up there acclimatizing. I know that Adventure Consultants, IMG, several other companies are all heading up there this upcoming week, I'm sure, along with Seven Summits Treks and 8K Expeditions, Elite, and all the rest of the Nepali outfits as well. So they'll all be heading up there, so the icefall will get pretty crowded this week, and we'll get a lot of reports that'll let us know exactly what that condition is like. Hey, listen, a lot of you followed my podcast where I interviewed my summit coach client, Ryan, the 19-year-old. The title of that podcast was How Can a 19-Year-Old Afford to Climb Everest? If you want to know the answer to that, you can go take a listen to that podcast. Ryan is just an incredible young man, and he's climbing with Madison Mountaineering this year. And he has his own YouTube channel where he's doing almost a daily video log. And I invite you to follow that. Again, I've got the links on my website to his YouTube channel, and he's just a full of energy and full of wild blonde hair, just a great, great guy. So the next big thing coming up is going to be, when will the ropes hit the summit? And as I said, first off, they've got to get all the ropes and all the material up to Camp 2 for the Sherpas from Seven Summits Treks who has the concession this year to be able to fix the route. And so they're going to go up and fix the route all the way to the summit once those once that gets there. So if you look at the historically, I went back and looked all the way back to 2010 on what was the day that the ropes hit the summit. And it varied from, let's see, May 18th in 2012 to as early as May 5th in 2010. And the median, if you will, is going to be right around May 10th. So what is that? That's about, let's see, it'd be nine, be about 20 days from now. And that's about right. And if they can get the ropes up there and the Sherpas can begin to fix the route, then that should have the route to the summit opened around May 10th. And after that, then you'll find a group of teams will rush up right behind the rope fixing team and summit, and then they'll get off the mountain. Others will be more content to wait and let the rush, the first wave go by, and then they'll wait till, you know, the mountain kind of calms down a little bit, and then they'll follow up and they'll summit into late May, around May 25th, something like that. If you want to look historically, what day has the most summits? The answer to that is May 19th. That historically has been the day when more people have summited than any other day. But typically it's right between May 15th and May 27th. And I see nothing this year that's going to cause that to be any different whatsoever. In terms of the other 8,000 meter mountains, it's been kind of quiet. After we had this big flurry on Annapurna, I think most of those folks have either gone home or headed over to climb Everest or another 8,000 meter mountain. It's become very popular to try to climb multiple 8,000 meter mountains in one season. Some will head over to Makalu. It'll also, some will go over to Dalagiri or to Kanchenjunga. That'll typically happen in later May though. Also in the news of other 8,000 meter mountains, there was a huge avalanche off on Manaslu, which hit one of the lakes, causing it to burst and flow into the valley below. So the Nepal government is issuing warnings for everybody that's along the river that's in that valley that you trek up. If you've trekked up, by the way, if you want to go do a trek in Nepal, you know, I always suggest doing the trek to Everest Base Camp. But I tell you what, the trek to Manaslu to Samogon is just awesome. It's like going through multiple microclimates, similar to what you experience on Kilimanjaro with the five microclimates. But on this one, you're going through rainforest and you're going through areas where there's monkeys and tigers, and maybe not tigers, but monkeys for sure, because I saw monkeys. But it's just an awesome, awesome trek, and the villages and the people are just super, super nice. It's so close to the Tibetan border that it has a very strong Tibetan influence in that area. So just doing a plug in for that. Okay, so right now on Everest, the latest numbers are 352 permits have been issued. I really did think that this year was going to be like 600. And then I backed off because it was so slow that I thought it would be lucky to break 300. And now it's broken that, it's at 350. So the original estimates of 400, maybe they were more right than I gave them credit for. In any event, it looks like that we're going to have a pretty much of a quote unquote normal season on Mount Everest this year. So that's what happened last week with the ropes getting in. This upcoming week or beginning the acclimatization rotations. And after that, we'll be closely following to see if when the ropes hit the summit. And once they do, then Katie barred the door and it'll be a mad rush to everybody get to the top and to get back down safely. And that's my best wish for everybody to have a positive experience. And hey, if you get a chance, follow Ryan on YouTube. I think you'll get a big smile on your face because he's just really a pleasant individual. All right, that's it for this week. Climb on. This is Alan. And remember, memories are everything.